Marca Marin recently began work as director of the El Paso Museum of History, and in the process, she's carved out her own space in the museum's history as the first El Paso native and Latina to hold the position. As a former curator at the museum, she helped shape exhibitions like Neighborhoods and Shared Memories, Sunset Heights, and the recently closed and epic Low and Slow, Lowrider Culture on the Border. Today, my guest is Erica Marin. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Hi, Marina. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you for being our first Latina El Paso Museum of History director.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's a bit overwhelming, but at the same time, probably one of the most exciting things I've ever done. Just the idea of what can happen in the future, how I envision us moving forward as a team. And it's and obviously an honor, a really big honor.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. You know, I mean, you could see your imprint right away. You know, we talked about the Sunset Heights show, Low and Slow. I mean, it was so cool. And now you currently have the Lucha Libre show going on.
We do. We have Lucha Libre. And this was a really great opportunity. As you know, Marina, I'm also an NMSU alumni. That means that I spent a lot of time in Las Cruces, and I was able to make some really valuable connections, especially with Las Cruces Museums, where I worked for a little bit. And this is actually originating from Las Cruces, from my friend and colleague, Norma Chaides-Hartel. This is her baby, Lucha Libre Stories from the Ring. And unfortunately, it closed within a week of it opening due to COVID. And so that was a bummer, but we were able to get it here and kind of blow it up and make it a little bit larger and do it the justice that it deserves. And we're so excited to have it here and to have added so many more people and characters and features to it.
So I know you can't answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because really, you kind of alluded to it, like, you know, no pressure being the first the first Native and Latina. But why do you think it took so long to have a Native person from El Paso? Forget the Latina part, which, you know, is a whole other situation, or 85% Latinx, Latino. Why do you think it took so long to have someone like you in this position?
You know, honestly, I do believe it comes down to people really not seeing history as interesting or valuable. So there's not a whole lot of value in terms of that in the past. And now I think with social media, and we're just in a different age where information is so easily attainable and people are thirsty and they learn more. And then as they learn more, they want to learn more about themselves, their region, their history. And then all of a sudden, comes, oh, look, history can be fun. It can be cool. It's not just one note. There's so many facets to it. And for example, Lucha Libre and Low and Slow, that's cultural history. That's our cultural history. So that's kind of exciting. And I think that that's the reason that before it wasn't that, I was like, oh, okay, the history of the border is this. And then the pioneers came and there was Spaniards too. And it's not that fun. But now when you see it in a different light, it's a whole lot of fun. So yeah, so there wasn't an impetus to like, oh, let's get someone from here, from El Paso, from the region, because maybe it wasn't that exciting.
Well, and you know, real talk, I mean, there were certain things that just didn't make sense for the area. I remember there was like a Fabergé egg exhibit and it's like, okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, do you know where we are? You know, do you know who we are? And that's those were kind of the feelings that I think just bubbled up a lot inside of me personally, you know, knowing what a rich and beautiful community we live in. And it seems like you're here for it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I definitely want with the team to forge ahead and show more of these stories that are really valuable and important to us. You know, there's so much more to talk about. There's, for example, we have a World War II exhibition coming up. It's El Paso's homegrown. We want to talk about the El Pasoans that served in World War II and those that actually helped and volunteered here on the home front and kind of highlight the local history, concerning that really large event. And we're going to continue to do that type of work. And when we can't bring people inside the museum, we want to take the museum out, because access is everything. For me, that's my number one goal, is access. So, hey, if we can't bring you here, we're going to take it to you. We want to find a way. We will find a way.
So you've been talking a lot about your team. What does that look like? How has that dynamic changed? Or what do you envision for you and your team coming forward?
Well, the team is very exciting. We have, for the most part, homegrown people here, Latinx individuals who are making up most of the team. So it's a very diverse team, and also a mostly homegrown team. And I think that that's important. So right now, 80% of staff is female identifying and Latinx homegrown.
So you talked about the World War II show coming up. What are your large aspirations for the museum? What's your long-term vision?
The long-term vision is that we do a little bit of everything. Una capirotada. We're going to have the big shows, the Lucha Libres, but we're also going to have smaller, more serious shows that talk and introduce people to topics such as, next year, we already have a Dolores Huerta exhibition lined up. We also have an in-house exhibition that we're creating about Chicano history and border town resistance. And then, of course, we have a really beautiful one. It's called Away From Home, and it's about Indian boarding schools.
Oh, wow.
We have some really heavy and serious topics, but we also have a lot of fun ones as well.
Now, us as the public, what can we do to support you and the museum and your vision for it?
Send us your input. When we post something, send us ideas. We're always receptive. There's no point to us talking about it if we're just talking about it from a top-down perspective. We want everyone to have input, because we want to involve the community on some level of that curation of what an exhibition calendar looks like. So that's really important. Also, to come on out. If you can't come in, we have virtual exhibitions that we're also posting. So as we create an exhibition, we're trying to film it, and we post it on our website, epmuseumofhistory.org. And so that's a way that you can look at. And another way to support is just by word of mouth. Share this with your family. Share this with your friends. Tell your friends that are from out of town. Well, they want something to do when they come in to visit, they can come in. So that's really important as well.
Now, Erica, as the first Latinx woman identifying director of the El Paso Museum of History, what do you tell little girls like you? Did you know you would be here? And what do you say to little girls with big dreams like you?
I would tell every little girl or every young woman to give herself time to figure out what it is that she's really good at. And if that takes a long time, that's okay. If she eventually continues on that path, she figures out, you know what, I'm really good at this one thing. And if you just continue working on that one thing and just staying tenacious through financial ups and downs, through everything, you will eventually find a way to get what you want, to meet your goals. Most importantly, don't give up. Believe in yourself. Believe that whatever you do is very valuable. It's valuable because you're contributing at large to your community.
And that's true. I mean, your journey, it wasn't a straight line, right? I mean, you kind of zigged and zagged. Will you tell us about that a little?
Yeah, it took me a long time to get to where I was a non-traditional student, and I was also an art maker. And even before that, my goodness, I always knew I was creative. I knew that I had something to say, and that was fun, but I didn't quite know how that was going to happen. And for a while, I worked in marketing and PR, and that still wasn't it. I'm like, yes, this is fun. Yes, we can do fun things, but that's not my calling. So I returned to school, and I finished my bachelor's in, I have a BFA in museum conservation It's a tough degree and it's a tough track, but it's a really good and rewarding one because you learn a lot about museums, you learn a lot about objects and collections. And then from there, I still continue to curate and work as an art maker. And then I went back and got my history degree, my MA later, much later on. And I didn't know if I was ever going to have a job, but I said, I'm going to get this because no matter what, as an artist, as an art maker, as a curator, I need my work and what I do to have context. I need to have information. Without knowing your history, you're not going to know where you go. So that was really important. So that's why I chose the path of historian and then eventually ended up here and then now here.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And you're right. I mean, you just kind of take a chance on yourself, right?
Yeah, it was a big chance, but I'm glad that eventually it paid off. And I just tell everyone just to stay focused on your dreams.
I like that. Just stay focused on your dreams. Anything else you want to tell us before we wrap up today?
Well, again, I would like to invite the public out to see our newest exhibition, Lucha Libre, Stories from the Ring. We are open Thursdays through Saturdays, 10 to 6. We will be working on getting some merch in relating to this exhibition. So that's a way to come in, grab a little bit of swag and make a little donation and support us and also take away something fun. Also, too, coming up on September 16th, on Thursday, September 16th, we are introducing for the first time an ongoing lecture series. It's a different platform. We're calling it Merienda Talks. Merienda is in snacks. So it's from 2 to 4. So you can come in and see a hosted lecture by, in this case, the collector, Michael Ricker, who owns the Devil You Say collection. And we will be serving churros and chocolate. And yours truly will be making the chocolate traditional style to accompany the churros.
Nice, nice. We like a director who can cook and make.
Yeah, and if you RSVP, you get a free print.
Oh, what? Okay, so there you have it. Really follow the El Paso Museum of History on their social networks. Of course, you can find them online. Erica, it's been a pleasure to talk to you again. I'm sure we'll keep doing it as you keep doing more cool things. So just know our door is open to you and we can't wait to see what else you bring, what else you make happen, I should say, at the El Paso Museum of History. Today, my guest has been the first El Paso native and Latina to hold the position of director of the El Paso Museum of History, Erica Marin. Thank you so much for coming to State of the Arts.